The remains of Foley and McCall. With Sean Foley and Hamish McCall. This week's episode, Subtle.
Hamish, hold the lift.
Good morning.
Morning. Hey, see that on the way in?
See what?
Graffiti on the front of the building.
Yeah? What's it say?
Bum.
What?
Bum. Big red letters, bum.
What, just bum?
Yeah, just bum. B-U-M. Bum. Just like that, bum.
Childish. Why would anyone want to write just bum?
Maybe he was halfway through writing something else. What other words start with bum? Bum. Bum. But I can't think of any.
Are you trying to say bum as many times as you can in this year?
What, you mean bum? Me? Gratuitously saying bum?
You are. You're trying to say bum as many times as you can before we reach the 10th floor.
I am not. Bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. How many did I get?
28.
Damn. Two off my record.
10th floor, production offices of the remains of Foley and McCall. As a lift, I don't normally speak, but I thought I'd just help establish location.
Sean, what was all that bum stuff about?
Don't ask me. I didn't write this episode.
Hello, boys. Am I in this scene?
All right, Dickie, but just one line.
Oh, brilliant! Brilliant idea! A brief but telling encounter to establish that I am the entire acting pool for this programme.
Right, that's your lot, Dickie. You can go now.
Ah, you call me Dickie. But I'm an actor, so who am I? King or cleaner? Taxman or fool, my agent Peggy put it perfectly when I rang her. I said, Peggy, it's Dickie. And she said, Dickie who?
Right, that's enough, Dickie.
If you need me, I shall be in the green room, practising foreplay on a ripe fig.
Dickie, that's disgusting.
I know, it's a filthy script this week, isn't it? In fact, I'm going to cut my next line. It's about having sex with a vacuum cleaner.
What is going on? Who did write this episode?
Look out! Beer belly coming through!
Oh, of course, Barry the gag writer.
Hey, hey! Hi, boys! Lovely delivery of my bum sketch in the lift. The way you get your mouth round things, Sean, you ought to be arrested. I've got a lovely greengrocer sketch coming up for you. All melons and bananas, you know what I mean?
Is Yvette in, Barry?
That bloody producer of yours. She's frigid. I asked her for a quickie in the stationery cupboard, and she said no.
Yvette?
Come in.
Yvette, what are you doing?
I'm just photocopying my privates in case I can't make it to the Christmas party.
Yvette, it's April.
We've had a lot of complaints about the cheap level of humour we've had so far in this episode. Start listening to the calls.
We're furious at being represented as objects of ridicule in your programme. We're just normal, well-adjusted people who like having sex with vacuum cleaners.
We are interested in sponsoring your wonderful programme. Please call me to discuss details. Yours, George Roberts, Managing Director of the False Titties and Fart Powder Company.
This week's programme is thoughtful, poignant and sophisticated.
Incredible.
Now, I've fulfilled my part of the bargain. Now, Mr. Foley, I beg you, let my children go!
I think we've heard enough.
The executives upstairs are very angry. They want us to raise the tone of the programme.
Unfortunately, my next line, as written, is tit to that.
Exactly. We have to make this programme more subtle.
Well, it's going to be hard. The whole episode has been written by Barry the gag writer. And he's utterly indiscriminate about who he gives rude lines to.
I'll get it. Hello?
I'm calling to offer my support. Me and my entire family understand what it's like to attract undue criticism. Yes, I myself have knockers.
Bullseye!
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Top royal knockers gag.
Top Barry, from now on this programme is going to aspire to the highest levels of subtlety. So, you're fired. Security?
You can't sack me. I've got a wife and six mistresses to support. Bullseye! I need the money and so does my drink problem. Bullseye!
Look on the bright side, Barry. Who knows? Maybe someday people will look on your stuff as postmodern. Before we go any further, Yvette, have you had a word with Greg Dyke?
The BBC's new Cockney Director General?
About the deathbed scene?
Yes. We're sick and tired of having to die at the end of each episode.
I'm sorry, boys, but Greg thinks it's hilarious. Hamish, it's your turn to die this week.
Very well.
Get off to the next scene. Just remember that Barry the gag writer... Thank Thank you. We don't need that anymore. Remember that Barry the gag writer. Barry, you know who has written it. So do your best to keep it subtle.
From now on, we're gonna be subtle. Everything that's crass and a cold scuttle. Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me a T-A-L and a dictionary tale. We've been in space in a space shuttle, but we're coming down to land on the planet Subtle.
Hey, good luck with the scene, Hamish. Remember, keep it subtle.
Gone through my lines. Made them about as subtle as they're going to get.
Roll up! Roll up! See Sean the Super Stud in his big hairy coconuts in his new hot sex show. Is he Cumberland sausage or chipolata? Only you can decide. Roll up!
One ticket, please.
Go away, Dickie. You're not in this scene.
Oh, I'm not here in my professional capacity. I'd just like to take a peek at Sean's coconuts.
Dickie, while you're here... There's a deathbed scene at the end of the episode. I thought you'd be perfect for it.
Oh, die for the good of the programme. Wait a minute, let me picture it. A graveyard. It's foggy. The mists lift. I see my gravestone. And on it, here lies Gullible Dickie. Marvellous, I'll do it.
Thank you, Dickie.
I must away to write my last will and testicle. Oh, testament. Bugger, sorry, slipping with the torture. Tongue. Oh, this bloody script.
How are you doing, Sean?
Hamish, I throw in the towel. How on earth can I be subtle wearing nipple tassels and a G-string?
But it's marvellous here, Sean. I love the fairground. The honesty and integrity of the travelling people.
Roll up, roll up. Three smutty gags for 50p. Actress and bishop gags 10p to clear.
Barry, the gag writer.
Hey, hello, boys. I've fallen on hard times since the sacking. You want to play Guess the Punchline and win a replica of the Taj Mahal?
It's not the Taj Mahal, it's a flat piece of plastic.
Taj Mahal before planning permission. Bullseye!
What? Why the horse and bugle?
That's between me and a large pack of imaginary beagles. Boys, the programme is losing shape badly, as my horse, bugle and beagle gag testifies. I'm calling a halt to this scene. Hamish and Sean, get over to RAF Brythe Norton immediately.
Listen up, boys. I'm a sergeant of the re-establishing plot and location regiment. We're in a Hawker Harriet approaching the drop zone.
Sean, Hamish, get your parachutes on.
Parachutes, Yvette? Where are we going?
To do some research into subtlety. We're parachuting you into a classic 19th century novel to see how it's done. The drop zone is Jane Austen's Emma.
High concept stuff, Yvette. Might just work.
We're over the drop zone, madam. Remember, boys, count 10 elephants and then pull the ripcord.
Excuse me, boys. Am I in this scene?
Not unless you want to fall to your death as light relief, Dickie.
Ah, I see. The challenge is light comedy, then suddenly tragedy. A sort of Penelope Keith treading on a landmine. Marvellous, I'll do it.
Very well, sir. Yeah, here's a parachute. Now, remember... Count 10 elephants. Ready? Jump!
One elephant, two elephants, three elephants.
Boys, make that 2 elephants. Ready? Jump!
One elephant, two elephants. Blimey. It's hot in here. Where are we?
We're in a sauna.
There isn't a sauna in Jane Austen's Emma.
Could be the Swedish translation.
Must have missed the drop zone. Let's have a look at the map. Oh, no. We're miles off target.
Who cares? As long as we've landed in a subtle book, we're fine.
I've got bad news. According to this map, we're in Jackie Collins's Hollywood Cousins.
Not Hollywood Cousins, the 1970s showbiz corporate bonkbuster.
Added Sean, usefully filling in background for the younger listener.
Added Hamish, exposing the inner mechanics of the writing process.
Stop this added thing. I'm not going to find subtle here.
Added Hamish, retrieving the plot from the added thing.
Stop it.
I have, added Sean, still patently victim to the added thing. Added Sean, illustrating his problem again. Added...
Shut up! There's someone coming.
Added Hamish. I'm sorry, I can't help it, added Sean.
So, Wayne, your plan is to strip the company of its assets and sleep with my precociously sexual daughter despite your love for the now hideously deformed Samantha.
And that's right, Brad. Right after I build a peninsula off the California coast in the shape of your wife's breast implants. You don't mind, do you?
Added Wayne. Oh, sorry, added Sean.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Are you the highly trained but ultimately fallible terrorists I've hired to kidnap Wayne and enslave him to cocaine?
No.
Sorry, that's the wrong song.
Added Brad. Added the door.
Oh, pack it in, will you?
By my calculations, Jane Austen's Emma is 6 books west of here on foot. Let's get going. No more added stuff or I'll slap you.
Added. Ow.
Come on, let's get out of this book. Trudging through the foothills of literature. There's another one over yonder we could take a look. Trudging through the foothills of literature. We've been in Hollywood, cousins, where the writing's wrong, where the sex is bad and goes on too long. We'll get there quicker with a scene change song. Trudging through the foothills of literature.
Ah, we've made it, Sean. We finally trekked through the whole of Roger's thesaurus.
Have we? No wonder I'm knackered, exhausted, done in, fatigued. Tired out, wasted.
Shut up, Sean.
Pooped.
This road, it must lead somewhere.
Ask those two tramps under that tree. Bush, branch, foliage.
Shut it.
Excuse me, fellas. Do you know where this road leads?
No idea. This is waiting for Godot. I'm Vladimir.
Oh, hello. I'm Hamish. We've met, in a manner of speaking. I did you for A-level.
You must be estrogen.
So you didn't pass, then?
Sean, it's Vladimir and estrogen from that boring play.
Hello.
Are you Godot?
Might be. Might be, son. I don't want to give away the ending.
Last night, they beat me again.
Let's face it, Vlad. You look the beatable type.
We're looking for Jane Austen's Emma.
Would you like a carrot out of my boot?
Come on, Sean. There's nothing for us here.
Come on, let's get out of this book. We're trudging through the foothills of literature. We'll camp for the night by the babbling Rupert Brook. Trudging through the foothills of literature. We'll find a sleepy time story in a flower bed where the duck down duvet in the page is spread. My feet are aching cause they're too well read. Trudging through the foothills of literature.
Hey, nice tent you've pitched, Hamish.
Yeah, nice campfire you've made, Sean. There were advantages in wading through that biography of Baden-Powell. Yeah, do you want some of this moussaka, made entirely from bracken and twigs?
Yeah, thanks. Strange man, Baden-Powell. He kept showing me his toggle.
Not getting much subtler, are we?
Said Hamish, farting the words so perfectly they seemed like spoken English.
Yeah, like I said, not much subtler.
What the hell is subtle, anyway?
Well, I made a note as we came through the dictionary. It means elusive, delicate, faint, understated. It's clever, adroit, complex, artful. In fact, it's a very good description of me. Now, do you understand?
Yes, I do.
You don't, do you?
No, I don't.
Right. Let me give you an example. My Aunt Dolly was a lesbian, but we never called her that. We used to say, Aunt Dolly likes to watch the ladies' tennis at Eastbourne.
Blimey, that is subtle. I'll tell you, I for one would not have got lesbian from that.
Well, exactly, you see. Subtle is not saying what you want to say.
Oh, I see. Can I try one?
Yeah.
Dickie likes to watch international swimming.
Now, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say he's a crap actor.
No, you've overshot there, Sean. You've confused not saying what you want to say with talking complete rubbish.
Blimey, this is difficult.
Yeah, but that's not all. Subtle is also the skill of beating about the bush. And that's what Jane Austen had in spades. You know, tea parties, picnics, big houses in the country, lots of lace, gossip, horses and inheritance problems. Anything she could get her hands on to put a bit of length on the novel and keep it subtle.
So what are her books actually about?
Girl meets boy and they shag. Look, Sean, we've got 5 minutes. Why don't we write our own novel?
Yes. Yes, Hamish, why not? Said Sean, frantically signalling for the doctors because his friend had totally lost it. What do you mean, us write a novel?
Well, it can't be that hard. We take that Jane Austen template of Girl Meets Boy...
Hey, and look out!
It's a note from Yvette.
What does it say?
Dear boys...
Blimey, Yvette's attached to it.
We've used up our quota of rude words for this week. You can't say that word.
What word?
Shag. Damn.
Not even in the seabird sense?
No.
All right. We'll use another seabird. How about puffin? It's kind of suggestive, you know, huffin' and puffin'.
Very good. Now, return me at once to the production office using this medieval catapult.
Certainly, Yvette.
Right, Sean. Got all you need to write the novel?
Yes. Pen, paper, and a pretentious berry. Here's my idea. This bloke, Alphonse, he works in this bakery in Didcot. He's poor, and this rich girl, Veronica, comes in and gives him a puffin.
No. No, you've just gone straight for the puffin, haven't you? Now, you've got to remember Jane Austen beat about the bush. Take the puffin out of the scene... And do it again in a way that merely suggests...
I've got it. Yeah. All right. So Veronica comes into the bakery. She looks at Alphonse and, thinking puffin, she suggestively jams her finger in a fruit pudding.
Excellent.
Then they clear the buns off the counter and get down to a good old puffin.
Am I in this scene, boys?
Dickie, you're alive. We thought you'd fallen to your death as light relief.
Spot of luck, really. Landed in a cookery book on an enormous sponge cake.
That's a hell of a haircut, Dickie.
Yes, spot of bother coming through the last of the Mohicans, I'm afraid.
Who is that?
My God.
Is that you, dear Harriet?
We're here. It's Jane Austen's Emma.
Oh, who is it at the end of the garden? For surely it cannot be the hawthorn whose large feet I espy.
Now remember... We're just here to observe subtlety, so keep quiet. She's coming this way.
Who is it? Speak plainly.
Go away, we're goblins.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I thought you were my companion, Harriet, returned home early. She's been watching the ladies' tennis at Eastbourne.
What are you doing out in the garden, love?
I'm sulking, but in such a spirited way. Mr. Knightley is so wretchedly obtuse in his affections for me. At dinner, when I meant to tell him of my feelings, he ignored me and spoke wittily to my father of melons and bananas.
Bullseye!
Barry the gag writer.
I had to get that stuff in somewhere. Now, Emma, put on this frilly French maid costume and go show Mr. Knightley your commentalis vous. Oh. Know what I mean?
Yes, Mr. Barry.
Lovely girl. Walks like an arse, is chewing a toffee. Know what I mean?
Barry, what on earth are you doing in 19th century fiction?
Well, bit of freelance work. Spicing up the classics for Loaded magazine. You were right, Hamish. They think I'm flipping postmodern. Bullseye!
There they are, officer. They've been trespassing on my novel.
Thank you, Miss Woodhouse. We'll take over from here. By the way, good luck from the force with the tricky Mr. Knightley. All right, you lot, into the back of the van.
No, this
come on,
no.
In you go.
Officer,
in you go.
Hamish, what are they...
Goodbye, Hamish. Goodbye, Sean. You were very nearly there, lads, but now you're gone, gone, gone. Your dreams of subtlety are absolutely wrecked. You've been driven away in a sound effect.
What have we got to finish the plot?
Lots of things are possible and most of them are not.
The things that are have ceased to be in nearly every case. So here's a definite list of possible things that certainly won't take place.
I become reborn in the body of a cat with a glandular disorder that makes me very fat, and I pass my life in silence on a hairy welcome mat. 'Cause anything is possible,
but not that. I become a woman and move to Mexico with a plumber named Sebastian whose speech is rather slow, and I feed him pickled herrings with a bucket full of snow. Do you think that's likely?
Frankly, no.
What have we got to finish the plot?
I could sing a verse.
Dickie.
Oh, maybe not.
Speculation's useless, for the thing will soon be clear. So here's a definite end to a probable song that certainly won't be here.
They're in there, Mom. Maximum security wing. We don't take defacing world literature lightly.
Thank you, jailer.
Is there any more of the plot you'd like me to explain, Mum?
No, thank you. I think the audience is past caring.
Yvette!
Where's Barry?
He stayed in 19th century fiction. He's rewriting Little Dorrit as Big Dorrit and his enormous cucumber.
Dickie?
He's next door, in a cell for slightly less important characters.
You've got to get us out of here, Yvette.
Now, listen carefully. I have spoken at length to the BBC lawyers, and this is the plan. We're going to completely wash our hands of you.
What?
I'll be in the gallery, boys, privately willing the judge to set you free. But because of BBC policy, publicly I'll be pressing for maximum sentencing.
Order, order.
Old Bailey, number one court. Judge Severely presiding. The prisoners will be upstanding.
Plug them into the mains, Judge.
I can't believe she's doing this. Shut up, Yvette.
Kill them with hammers.
Silence in the public gallery.
Oh, it's all right, Dickie. It's all right. There's no need to cry.
Oh, but it says here, Dickie's chest heaves with the salty tears of tragedy.
It doesn't say that in my script.
Oh, I didn't write it in yours.
Silence. Hamish McCall, Sean Foley and Mr. Dickie Bow, a.k.a. the acting fool.
My agent is Peggy Ramsgate, my lud. A legend in the business.
Silence, Mr. Bow.
Put them in a garlic press.
Pack it in, Yvette.
Silence in the public gallery. You are charged with introducing frilly French maid's costumes into Jane Austen's Emma.
Well, that wasn't us, Judge. It was Barry the gag writer.
Get that Hammond organ out of my court.
Hang him high, Judge.
Shut up, Yvette.
Mr. McCall, Mr. Foley, it is clear to me that you have perpetrated the most heinous crime on the listening public.
What do you mean, Judge?
I mean that the so-called Barry the gag writer is no more than a fictional character concocted by the accused to justify their own love of the cheap gag.
He's rumbled us, Hamish.
We only did it for a laugh.
I find you guilty as charged.
Won't you reconsider your verdict?
No.
We have incriminating Polaroids of you in Clapham.
Then yes.
Do we?
No, but they all fall for that.
In the light of the Polaroids in Clapham, I will deliver a lenient sentence. Chop off their heads!
Respect goes out to the wiggy man, Judge.
Blimey, Hamish. Looks like we're both going to die this week. I'll get it.
This verdict illustrates that the entire British establishment is led by nothing but corrupt old fools.
Yes, Your Majesty.
So, Sean, I am giving you a full pardon. Does Hamish want one?
I don't think so, no.
Proceed with the beheading of Hamish.
Dickie, now's your chance. It's the deathbed scene I told you about. Take my place, Dickie, and show me how it's done.
Very well. In a light silk blouson, Dickie mounts the gallows. Below him the tricoteurs, old hags one and all, click, click, click with their knitting needles of death. Will Dickie Blub? No! He nestles his head in the bosom of Madame Guillotine. The blade winks in the sun, and Dickie is dead! It says someone else.
Last orders, last orders!
Well done, everyone. Great show. My round, I think.
Oh, Sean. I feel terrible about getting Dickie to die on my behalf. Seeing his severed head on that pike staff is really, really awful. Packet of crisps?
No, thanks. Dickie's death has brought me to my senses, Hamish. I've finished with cheap gags. I'm going to be completely subtle from now on. By the way, I picked up Dickie's last will and testicle. He writes,
Dear boys, I leave all my worldly goods to my last place of residence, the Variety Club's home for unemployable actors. To Peggy Ramsgate, my wonderful agent, I leave 10% of my ashes. Sod you, Peggy, really, sod you. And to you, dear boys, I leave my greatest gift, a real drawn-out death scene. Yes, boys, these pages you are reading from are impregnated with cynicism.
Give me that, Dickie. It says cyanide.
Oh, sorry, said Dickie from beyond the grave.
Here, you read it, Sean.
You're right, Hamish. It says cyanide. The pages were stuck together.
So, lick your fingers.
Right. That's better. Impregnated with cyanide. Yeah, it's definitely cyanide. Goodbye forever. Love, Dickie. P.S. Dear Sean, Please forgive me for my part in Hamish's complicated scheme to get you to die at the end of this programme instead of him. Hamish! You double-crossed me!
Oh, you're not going to die in vain, Sean. Think of the novel you wrote earlier on.
Yes. Alphonse and Veronica puffing themselves stupid.
It's a subtle classic, Sean, don't you see? You're dying as the Grand Master of subtlety.
Then I can die in peace. Hamish, I've started dying.
How do you know?
Because I've started doing the tragic pauses. Cue sad music. Thank you. Tell me you will continue my work into subtlety.
Of course, Grandmaster. I have already found someone else to continue your work with me. But I will never forget you, Steve.
Sean. Tell me something subtle you have learnt from me.
If you don't wash them for a week, socks stand up on their own.
No! No more cheapness! I, for one, will never say another rude word in my life. Tell me, what have you learnt from me as the Grand Master of subtlety?
It was you, Grandmaster, who pointed out that the word subtle is so very subtle that it has a bee standing in the middle of it, doing nothing.
Yes, I remember. I'm slipping. Slipping.
Since then, I've found other letters like that, Sam.
Sean.
Letters that stand in the middle of words and do nothing. To add to the B in subtle, there is the silent M in mnemonic.
Good work, pupil. I'm slipping away.
And then there is the silent, subtle U in pluck. Put those letters together, Grandmaster. And what is your final word on this earth?
U-M-B. Well, it's got to be bum.
No!
Bullseye!
Meet my new partner, Barry the Gagwriter.
Hey!
Oh, Barry, Sean is wonderfully dead.
Fabulous exit line I wrote for him, don't you think?
Yes, bum.
Bullseye!
Here, come on, Barry. Let's nip down the lifts. Have you seen? Someone's written tits by the buttons. In the remains of Foley and McCall, Sean was Foley and Hamish McCall. It was written with the aid of a lot of alcohol by Sean Foley and Hamish McCall. Rose English played Yvette and Count Arthur Strong was Dickie Bow. Chris Lama provided the lyrical hands that wrote the songs for the radio. Members of the cast played the other parts. Mr. Mark Stevens touched our hearts with a synthesizer and helped us sing. Lisa Evans produced the thing.